by offering a choice of appointment times. One of those appointment times has to be now. Bring it in now, or would 2 o'clock be better for you? Bring it in now, or would 4 o'clock be better for you? Bring it in now, or would 1 o'clock be better? Oh, Cooper, you can't do that. You can't tell people to bring it in now. If you do that, they're all going to show up. Right. Well, Bob, what if you're busy? You're going to be busier. It's called business. Cars don't break by appointment. You know that. I'm not suggesting, I want to be really clear, I'm not suggesting if a customer calls for an LOF that you say, well, we're buried with work, we got cars stacked to the ceiling, we got 15 cars that we got to get out, bring it in now. I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is if he has a legitimate problem with his car, ask him to bring it in now. People say, well, boy, you know, if you do that, you're just going to get these guys in and you're going to be buried with business. And how are you going to take care of them? I have a solution for you. All that you need to do is look outside of your business at other industries. Let me give you a great example, not a good example. Keith isn't feeling too well. We'll do, can I do a role play with you? Or use you as an example. Keith isn't feeling too well. And he calls up Dr. Bob's office. Hello, Dr. Bob's office.
Yeah, I need to make an appointment to see the doc. I'm not feeling too good.
I see. And your name is?
Keith.
Keith, let me see. I can get you in April 14th. Now, mind you, we're in the beginning of February. April 14th, or I could get you in May.
Don't you have anything sooner than that?
I'm sorry, the doctor's booked solid.
But I don't feel good now.
I'm sorry.
You're in an HMO too, aren't you?
So the point that I'm trying to make is that real world or not?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, what if, I'm carrying this to the extreme so you can understand it. What if the doctor's office said something like this? Hello, Dr. Bob's office. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm not feeling good. I need to see the doc.
And ask a couple fact-finding questions and then go for the close and say, well, I could squeeze you in now. Or would next week be better for you?
Oh, if you can squeeze me in now, I'll come on down there.
The operative word is squeeze him in. Now, number one, I'm pulling a strong emotional trigger in his mind from an ethic point of view. I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't say in front of your customers. I'm letting him know right up front, I'm going above and beyond to help him. I'm letting him know that I want to help this guy. Now, all of a sudden, he walks into the office, and you know what he sees? As soon as he walks through that door, he looks out there, and he sees all of you people sitting in a waiting room. Now, what's he going to think? Bill, I'm glad I asked that question. And what else is he going to think when he walks into the doctor's office and sees it filled with people?
That's a really good doctor.
That's a really good doctor. Look at all the people that are here. So now it's a question of what are we going to do with Keith now that he's here? And it's important that you understand if he really is a good doctor, like all of you are really great in your industry, you have to understand that all these people in the doctor's office, you know what they're going to do? They're going to become salespeople. You want to bet? They're going to sit there and they're going to tell this guy, oh, it's worth the wait. He's a great doctor or she's a great doctor. I've been coming to them for years. Want to bet? That's going to happen. And if he's impressed, what is really happening is he's being sold on the doctor, right? That's what's going on. You know that as well as I do. Now, some people will say, well, Bob, I mean, you told him to come down to the doctor's office, but you just were buried with business. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Number one of the things that I know about airlines is they all overbook. Why do you think they overbook? Some people don't show. Well, I guess in your industry, everybody always shows up. You never have no shows. So number one, there's no problem with overbooking as long as you over-deliver to the people when they're there. So the point that I'm trying to make is now he comes into the doctor's office. Now it depends on how he's treated. Now if the receptionist tells him, Keith, the reason that I wanted to scoot you in here is it sounded to me like something that we really needed to take a look at. What we'll need to do now, Keith, is we'll need to get you started on a paperwork. Can you take this form and fill it out and have a seat over here? Isn't that the way it's going to happen? So now what we're doing, I want to be clear, is we're getting him involved in the problem-solving process. That's all that we're doing. We're getting him started down that road of solving his problem. That's all that we're doing. Now, of course, if he can't see the doctor in 15 or 20 minutes in a reasonable amount of time, is he going to be upset with the gal or the guy up front? Not necessarily. It depends on how they handle it. If they're kind enough or good enough or bright enough to explain to him that the doctor's really busy and he got a lot of patients they're trying to handle, but we knew that it sounded like something that needed to be taken a look at, and if they explain things to him, then it's no different than children. You know what children need? An explanation. That's what they need. Don't tell your children don't touch the stove. That doesn't work. Tell them why they shouldn't touch the stove. That's what you need to do. It's no different with your customers. So our point is that what you need to do is get those people in. And then people will say, well, Bob, what if you do is you tell the customer to bring the car down and you take a look at it and you were wishing that it was something minor that you could help them out with, but it's not. And now you don't have a hoist to get it in or a bay to get it in. What do you do then? Don't laugh when I say this. Put them in a rental car. Wait a minute, Cooper, a rental car is going to cost me $25. No, it's not. It's called growing your company. This is a customer that has a portfolio value of approximately $5,000 based on today's economies. This is a customer that has two cars in his garage, not one. This is a customer, if you treat him well, not only are you going to service both cars, but you're going to get a lot of friends from him. Do you agree or disagree? So you want to talk about $25? That's not an expense. That's one of the best investments I'll ever make in my life. Put this guy in a rental car. I mean, if he's that stuck for wheels and needs transportation, I'll put him in a rental car for a day and solve his problem for him at the same time and turn him into a customer for life. So I can't take this short of amount of time and persuade all of you that, well, now what you need to do is you need to offer rental cars to everybody. I'm not attempting to do that. I'm attempting to get you to think out of the box. Too many people in your industry, the first thing that they do before they pick up the phone is they look at a schedule. And they say, well, we're booked solid. We can't get anybody in today. Sorry, Keith, you lose. Wow. That's not how you help people. That's how you lose customers. So what we're asking you to do is need to offer people a choice of appointment times. People need to have choice. Remember we talked about that earlier? Of appointment times. We'll cover that in greater detail tomorrow, too. People like options. When you give people choice, there's one thing that I'll promise you. They feel in control. When you give people choice, they feel as though they're in control, not you. If I don't give them a choice, well, Keith, I could squeeze you in at 2 o'clock. Would you like to bring it in now?
I can't do that right now. I got to go other things right now.
So I'm saying yes or no. When I give him a choice, I could squeeze you in now or 2 o'clock, he's going to think, well, can I get in now? Or would 2 o'clock be better? You'll be surprised at how much your closing ratio will go up on appointments by saying bring it in now or 2 o'clock. So number one, two important rules. Number one, always offer within reason. Always offer one of those options is bring it in now. If your house is on fire, if you're closing down in a half an hour, if there's no way in the world you could do any service at all, of course don't offer to bring it in now. But if you sense that he has a serious problem with this car, if you sense that it's something that needs to be looked at right now, then get him down to your service center. One of those options should be now. If you don't do that, and if you don't say bring it in now, and if you just give them a couple options but they're booked out, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I say to Keith, well, I could squeeze you in at 3, or I could get you in at 5. Now, as soon as he hangs up the phone, he's not due to be at my service center for another 2 hours. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to call someone else. And the reason that he's going to call someone else is his whole world hasn't stopped. Mine has. He still has the problems that he has with his car. And he's saying, wait a minute, I'm going to call Dorothy. And if Dorothy can't take care of my needs, or if I go to Dorothy and if I don't like what I hear, then I can always go and see Bob, right? That's where a lot of your no-shows go. If you put a window there of time for your customers, if you book them in as a future, all of your customers, and they don't show up, it's because you've empowered them. You put them in a position where they had to go somewhere else to try to solve their problem. So please, make sure one of those options is bring it in now. We all have an agreement on that? It's scary how well that works. And certainly at the end there it says, by recognizing that they called us for a very good reason. And you know what that means. When a customer calls you on the phone, he has a problem that he wants to solve. He has a problem that he wants to solve. He's a customer. He's the king. He's the center of your universe. You have to stop your business and take care of the customer. Closing the sale, then we'll do a role play here in just a moment. It says the only way you can close the sale is by genuinely caring for the customer and by being well prepared to overcome objections. We're going to cover those this afternoon after lunch. Jeremy, can I do a role play with you?
Yeah.
This is what I would like you to do. I would like you to go stand over here somewhere where these guys and gals can't see you.
Okay.
When you're dealing with customers, there's no visual contact on the telephone. What I would like you to do is pay attention to the tonality, See if you can hear him taking notes. And look at the sales cycle up here and see if he follows it. Tom, you can help us. You have a watch on?
Yes.
Would you time this call from the beginning to the end? Would you be so kind as to do that?
No problem.
Okay. Jeremy, are you ready?
Yes.
Ring, ring your auto service center.
It's a great day at McKenna Motors. This is Jeremy speaking. How may I help you?
Yeah, I need to get a price on putting some brakes on a 1996 Chevrolet.
Okay, I'll just need to get a little information from you. You said it's a 1996 Chevrolet?
That's correct,
What model is it?
It's an Astrovan.
Okay. By the way, my name's Jeremy. May I ask who I'm speaking with?
Bob Cooper.
Okay, Mr. Cooper. Why do you suspect you may need a brake job?
Well, when I step on a pedal, it's doing a couple things. One, it's making like a grinding noise. And two, the steering wheel pulls to the left as soon as I start to press down on a pedal.
Okay, so you say it's making a grinding noise?
Correct,
And the second complaint was it pulls to the left?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and how long has it been doing this?
Well, it's been doing it now for about 2 days, about 2 to 3 days.
For about 2 to 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Cooper, based on what you just told me, you may not need a complete brake job. What I'd suggest you do is bring the vehicle in so we can perform our 27-point inspection. It's the first part of any service. It'll only take about 20 minutes, and it's no charge. As soon as we're finished, we'll be able to give you a written estimate for anything that needs to be done, and I'll explain all of your options to you. I can squeeze you in right now, or I can get you in at 2:30 this afternoon. Which would you prefer?
2:30 would be terrific if you could do that. Yeah, that'd give me about 45 minutes.
Okay, 2:30 would be great.
Uh-huh.
Okay, may I have the correct spelling of your last name?
Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R.
C-O-O-P-E-R. Uh-huh. And a phone number where I can reach you.
Area code is 858-756-3102.
That's 858-756-3102?
Correct,
Okay, I have you scheduled for a complete 27-point brake inspection at 2:30. Do you know how to find us?
Yeah, you're on the corner of 3rd and Elm Street, aren't you?
Actually, no, we're at the 605 Freeway in Firestone.
Oh my gosh, so did you guys move?
We sure did about a year and a half ago.
Oh, terrific. Then I know where you're at. Okay, super.
Great. My name's Jeremy. I'm the service advisor here, and I look forward to meeting you at 2:30.
Yeah, thanks for your help. I'll see you then, Jeremy. Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye.
Give him a round of applause, huh? Tom, how about time?
2:13.
So service writers tell me, service advisors tell me, center managers tell me, Bob, I don't have time to follow procedure. Excuse me. The reason that fast food restaurants can knock out a lot of hamburgers really fast is they follow procedures. The reason that great, not the good technicians, could fix a lot of cars really fast is they follow procedures. The reason great lawyers could solve a lot of legal problems really fast is they follow procedures. The reason that great salespeople could help a lot of people really fast is the same reason. They follow procedures. There's no argument if you follow a telephone procedure from the top to the bottom. I'm not saying you're not going to get objections. You are. What I am saying is the first shot in sales needs to be word for word, write down a procedure, just like at McDonald's. And that's going to work for a good majority of the callers that call in your service center. It's going to get you from here to there in literally a couple minutes. Right, Tom? And that's a great investment of your time. If you want to look where you're wasting time, and I'm going to choose my words, don't use a procedure and let the customers take you all over the board. And you all have been there, haven't you? With callers? I know I've been there. Yes, ma'am.
What if they're persistent on just getting a price?
There is no such customer. wait, excuse me. Did you hear what she said? What if they're, you said persistent. Is that the word that you used? You mean like relentless with asking you to just give them a price? Is that what you're telling me? Can you imagine she's suggesting there's people out there like that?
There's customers like that?
I've never heard of those kind of people. Have any of you ever heard of those kind of people? Can I see a show of hands? Well, there's a few people in here that are honest. And there's a lot of people in here that just after lunch don't like to raise their hands. So this is what we're going to do. After our next break, we're going to spend the whole afternoon dealing with all of those kind of guys and gals. We'll help you with that. Okay, we got to move on. Jeremy, thanks for your help with the role play. You did a remarkable job, as usual. Great job. If you take a look at page 6, I sure would appreciate it. And we'll get partway down the page here, and then we'll take a break in just a flash. Says reselling the service. Now the caller's made an appointment. The sale has been closed. Now they're going to bring their car into your service center. By the way, just as a little bit of an overview, and I know a lot of you are all different kind of auto service businesses. Earlier when we talked about painting mental pictures, don't forget, when you paint those mental pictures, you can do that for just about all kinds of services that you offer. The same is true with brakes. Just about all of you do brakes in one fashion or another, maybe with the exception of the transmission service centers. And you can paint the same kind of picture, can't you? Right? You can let the customers know when they bring their car in, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to put the car up in the air, you're going to take the wheels off. Paint those pictures. And the reason that I'm mentioning that to you again is it gets back to the law of consistency again. One of the things that I found in the transmission business is I would tell Keith exactly what we're going to do over the telephone when he brings his car in. Now when he sits down with me and I write up a repair order on him and I tell him this is exactly what we're going to do, you can rest assured I'm going to tell him the same thing now that I told him over the phone. And now what I'm teaching him or what I'm suggesting to him is watch how we're consistent. What we tell you we're going to do is what we do do. Do you see the logic in that? So it's another advantage to painting mental pictures to the customer. That way when they do bring their car and they go, you did exactly what you told me you were going to do over the phone. That means you're a person that has ethic about you. And that's what's going to cause people to feel comfortable with you. So when we talk about reselling the service, what we're talking about is making sure that they understand exactly what we're going to do for them when they bring their car in. You have to reconfirm the service that you're going to perform for them. Reconfirm the appointment time. Is that important? Yes, important. And giving proper directions and closing with our name. Is that important to do that? Yeah, you bet. Then down at the bottom, it says checklist of supplies. Just like any professional, you need to have the proper tools. Let's spend just a few minutes talking about the tools. The tools that you need to really become a star when it comes to closing the telephone leads. Adequate number of phone lines with extensions throughout the facilities. Now, I'm going to talk about some things, keep an open mind, that you might not quickly agree with. Just keep an open mind. Number one, those of you from the great state of California, the great state of California was the last state in the union to approve two things. One, remote call forward, and two, caller ID. Let's talk about both of those powerhouses when it comes to becoming more successful at what you do. If I were in your business today, I would not operate one day, not one day, without remote call forward. I just would not. You see, I work at Elite Auto Repair. Keith is the owner of Elite Auto Repair, and I'm the service writer. Well, when I leave in the evening and get ready to go home, what I want to do is I want to use remote call forward, and what I want to do is forward that business line to my cell phone. And what that means is when I'm driving home at night, I'm going to catch those incoming calls. Now, there's two ways you can look at it, the glass half full or the glass half empty. Some people say, well, Bob, you know, man, look, I don't want to be dealing with those calls when we go home. Wait a minute. That's not a problem with the telephone. It's not a problem with the caller. It's a problem with the attitude. People that want to help people can really get ahead in sales if they understand that premise. So if I were working with Keith, I would want to forward those calls to my cell phone. I'd want to pick up those leads and help those people as I'm driving home. Now I'm getting ready to walk through my front door at the house. I'm going to take that phone again, and I'm going to now remote call forward the business line from my cell phone to the answering service. And then when I get up in the morning and get ready to go to work, I'm going to forward it from the answering service back to my cell phone. And when I get to work, I'm going to forward it through my cell phone back to the company. Now, if you question as to how powerful that is, all that you have to ask yourself is how many people do you think call that half an hour before you pick up the phone and a half hour after you leave your shop? And if you tell me one or two customers a week at $5,000 portfolio value per caller, that could add up to a lot of money. Do you agree with me or disagree with me? So you need to really look at doing remote call forwarding in your business. The other thing that I'm going to ask that you do is have caller ID. You can't operate, from my point of view, one day in your business in more of a stress-free way than you could if you had caller ID. Watch. Can I do another role play with you?
Uh-huh.
Keith is a tough customer. You've had this kind of guy before. I know that you have. We're going to paint a real-world scenario here. I'm the service writer at Elite Auto Repair, and the person that was my backup is ill today and not available. I got a couple people to back up the phone, but for whatever reason, their technicians are on test drives. Doesn't matter why. It's called the law of circumstance. And right now, I'm on the phone with Keith. and I'm trying to cover the entire fort on my own. So let me ask you this, Keith. Which of those two services would give you the greater peace of mind?
I don't know, Bob. Just seems like a lot of money. I don't know. You know, on the one hand, this one has a good value, but on the other hand...
Right now, the other line starts to ring. Ring! Ring!
But on the other hand, you know, this other ring! One has a pretty good value, too.
Ring! You're laughing. You've been there, huh? Well, you live there. Touched a nerve, huh, Mark? So, here's the important thing. When that happens, if you think it's affecting you, you ought to peek inside of his brain. What do you think it's doing to him? What message do you think he's picking up when he hears that phone ringing in the background? He's lost interest. And after it rings four or five times, what's he more than likely going to say to you? Why don't you pick up the phone? Do you need to get that line over there, Cooper? And as soon as he senses that you're not picking up that phone, what kind of feeling does he start to get? Pardon me? Something's wrong, right? Why, you know, what's the matter? Put me on hold, put me on ignore, pick up the other phone. Why don't you put me on hold and take the other call? Are you putting pressure on me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't argue that point. That's the way the customer's going to feel. So as difficult it is for you, it's a lot worse for him. So here's what a lot of service writers or managers will do. Ring! Ring! Go ahead, Keith. Ring!
Yalit, can you hold, please?
And that's what they'll do. That's what they'll do. They'll put the first caller on hold and jump for the other one and put them right on what we call ignore. So let's go back to the tough customer. Mm-hmm. You're the tough customer. Watch, we're going to take it all the way from the top. Here's the rest of the scenario. Happens every day all across America. So let me ask you this, Keith. Which of these two services will give you the greater peace of mind?
Oh, I don't know, Bob. You know,
ring!
Last time I went with
ring!
That service, it didn't seem to go very well.
Ring!
You know, if I go with this ring! One, it's going to be that
Keith,
much
can you hold
money.
Line just one moment? I'll be right back with
sure,
you.
Sure, Bob.
Okay, I'll clear the other line.
Okay.
Thanks for calling Elite Auto Repair. Could you hold the line one moment, please? And I put him on ignore. Sensitivity training. And I put him on ignore. And then I come back to this guy. And I go, I'm sorry, Keith, I'm back with you.
Yeah, Bob, you know, how much is a warranty on that big service?
And I see the ignore light, that hold light that we call the ignore light, and now it's flashing at me. It's saying, here I am, Cooper, here I am. Keith, have you had a chance to come to a conclusion as to what you want to do?
Well, you know, Bob, I don't know. The longer warranty seems like a better package, but, you know...
And I'm looking at the flashing light, and I'm starting to get anxious. And you know what I'm going to do with this caller now, with Keith? I'm going to blow the sale. Do you agree or disagree? I'm going to blow the sale. I'm going to cut him short. I'm going to rush him into a decision. Whatever it is, I'm going to blow the sale. Or he's going to make a decision and to do it or not do it. And then I'm going to say, okay, Keith, I'll call you as soon as it's on. And then I'll pick up the line and go... Oh, this is Bob. Thanks for calling. Yeah, this is Larry from Domino's Pizza. I wanted to check and make sure that we had your right address. We're delivering a large pepperoni. And I say,
what?
You're the pizza man? And he goes, yeah. And I say, why didn't you tell me that? And what all great detectives do? And he says, why didn't you... Ask who I was. Never, ever, 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 from this day forward, put anybody on ignore without giving every caller 10 to 15 seconds. Listen, give this man, put him on ignore, Keith, ask for permission. Keith, is it okay if I clear the other line?
Sure,
just
Bob,
take a moment
ahead.
And I'll be right back with you. Put him on ignore, pick up the phone. Good afternoon, Elite Auto Repair. This is Bob speaking. How may I help you? Now, start the clock. And no one in this room could argue the point that you could dispose of a call within 10 to 15 seconds in a professional, ethical way. You can, right? If it's the gentleman from the parts store calling, let him know that you get back to him, right? If it's a pizza man, give him your address. If he says, I need to talk to Tom, you got to call online too. If it's a customer, ask them if they can hold for a minute and have somebody else pick up the line or get their phone number and call them back, correct? The point that I'm trying to make is that when you put that caller on hold, what you're doing then is killing two sales, aren't you? Because everyone in this room has called at least one business in your life where all that you wanted to know was what hours they were open. Haven't you ever been there before? You call this giant company and all that you want to know is if they're open on weekends and they go, giant company, can you hold please? And they put you on ignore. And then when they come back, you say, you know, I just wanted to know what your hours were, right? What's step number one in the sales cycle? You don't establish rapport by putting people on ignore. You don't do it. So this is what I'm going to ask that you do. Two things, please. Number one, always give every caller 10 to 15 seconds of your time to dispose of the call. Number two, if you don't have caller ID, get caller ID. If you don't have caller ID, get caller ID. And the third time I'll say it is if you don't have caller ID, get caller ID. What a godsend to your business. I can't even imagine how you would operate an auto service center and be there. And now I'm talking to Keith on the phone. Follow the logic. I'm talking to Keith on the phone now, and we're talking about his repair. And the other phone goes ring, ring. And after the second ring, it pops up on the screen that it's my local parts supplier calling. Imagine that. Imagine that. Or it pops up on the screen that it's my wife calling. Imagine that. It's caller ID. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or it's one of our other shops that we work with, pops up on the screen. So now I can look at it, and before anybody picks up the phone, we now know, not in all cases, but in many cases, who it is that's calling. And as soon as I realize that it's our parts supplier, then what I'll do is I'll motion for somebody else to grab the phone. Put it in your business. You can't lose. You can't lose. Only lose if you don't have it. The other thing that we're going to ask that you do is a couple other things that we're going to ask you to do. Have appointment schedules where it says in your workbook on page 6, appointment schedules and lead sheets. Keith, I need a little help with this one, if you could please. We talk about lead sheets. One of the things that, see all these gray hairs that I have, that he will have eventually? Every one of these represent a story. And like this one here is an example. This gray hair comes from dealing with shop owners that tell us that they need to spend more money to get the phone to ring. They need to spend more money on marketing. No, they don't. They need to become more effective with what they already have. What they need to do is look at their conversion ratios. How many leads are calling in on the phone and getting lost? And it's amazing how many service centers where we talk to the owners to say, you know, we need to push more dollars into marketing our business, when we'll be standing there and we'll hear service writers lose leads left and right. And we go, no, you don't. You don't need the phone to ring more often. What you need to do is become more effective when the phone does ring. So people say, well, how do you do that? You know, it's really easy. All that you need to do is meet with your service. Can we do another role play?
Uh-huh.
Keith is a service writer at Elite Auto Repair. Watch. Keith, I know that you're a very talented guy and certainly thrilled to have you working with our company. You bring a lot of skills to Elite Auto Repair.
Thank you.
One of the things that we're always looking to do is improve. We would like to get better at what we do. We certainly hope that you look at that as an opportunity for you to improve your skills too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see mistake as a loss. We see it as an opportunity to learn. So let me tell you one of the things that we do here at Elite Auto Repair. We track all of our lost leads. Now what that means, Keith, is when someone calls in and you're not able to persuade them to bring their vehicle in for an estimate or an oil service or whatever it is, what I would like you to do is make a little note. Here, use this little pad and write down why you believe, like in 5 words or less, why you believe you lost that lead. And it could be price, it could be convenience, it could be location, it could be hours, whatever, just a little note. And the reason that I'd like you to do this is because then what you and I are going to do is we're going to get together every week at the end of the week, and we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about these things. And if we see that there's a lot of leads that we're losing because of this or this or this, then let's get our heads together. We're a couple of relatively bright guys, and let's figure out what we could do differently to do better with those kind of leads.
Okay.
It worked for me in the transmission business. I know it'll work for you. So what I'm asking you to do is do two things. Not only keep track, obviously, of all your customers and have the appointment schedules or software programs, but you also need to track all of the people that contact your service center that don't become customers. Under checklists, it also says posted print media tear sheets. Everything that you have that's available to the motoring public in media, whether it be phone directories, whether it be coupons that you run, I don't care what it is, direct mail pieces, every one of those pieces need to be posted by every single phone that you have. There's nothing worse than a salesperson being in a position where they're talking to a customer who's looking at a direct mail piece of yours and the salesperson doesn't have the same document in front of them. That's wrong. Do you agree with me? You need to be able to look at exactly what your customer's looking at. It's not an iffy issue. You need to be able to do that. And it also says you need to have daily, weekly, and quarterly goal sheets. Those are miracle makers. We're going to help you with that as we move along. And a team spirit and the right incentive programs, where it says team spirit. One of the things that we do, are a number of different management courses, employee management courses, helping guys and gals better understand how do you find and hire superstars? How do you motivate people where they want to work with you, not for you? Well, one of the challenges that we see in the auto service business, not sometimes, but all the time, is this. Guys and gals will say, well, Bob, you know, if I don't pick up the phone, none of these guys want to answer the phone for me. Bob, if I don't pick up the phone and one of these other guys answer the phone, they're going to blow the lead off. Well, wait a minute. The first thing you need to do is you need to take a deep breath. And you need to ask yourself, what is fundamentally flawed? And let me tell you what it is. The behavior you get is the behavior that you reward. If you want guys and gals working with you, not for you, working with you to produce and give you the result that you're looking for, you have to get inside of their head and understand how they think. If I was a technician that worked at your auto service center, and if I'm paid for productivity, for generating billed hours for you, I'll tell you what I don't want to do is I don't want to answer your telephone. You can't argue that point. Because every time I'm answering that phone, I'm losing an income. Now, one of the things that you might tell me is, well, Bob, but we need the customers. And you know, Bob, if we get the customers, then if we treat them right, then what they're going to do is they're going to tell their friends and they're going to come back and they're going to, excuse me, that doesn't fly. People in this industry have been trying to use that excuse with service writers since I was 13 years old. And you know what? To this day, it still doesn't work. Because there's not an immediate enough reward that's going to make them go, this makes a lot of sense. So here's what I'm going to ask that you do. Number one, sit down with all of your service writers and let them know, of course, or all of your service writers, all of your technicians, and of course, let them know the importance of the telephone. But find the guy or the gal, whoever it is that's going to be the lead person that's going to be backing up your telephone, and don't choke on me when I tell you this. And tell them this, Tom, you're our lead technician, you're very good at what you do, and we're honored to have you working with our company. You know, one of the things that we have happen sometimes is we get buried with leads and the phones start ringing and on test drives and all that. And I know that you're paid to produce, and I know that you do a great job of producing billable hours for us. This is what I'd like you to do. It's going to be your responsibility to pick up the phone and answer the phone and smile and do all the right things whenever it rings if I'm not available to answer the phone. If you're able to persuade somebody to make an appointment, bring the car, and if they show up, this is what I'll do for you. You fill in the blanks. Whatever you want to fill in for the blanks, you fill in the blanks. You want to give them a $5 bill, that's your prerogative. You want to give them a $10 bill, that's your prerogative. Now, I did that in the auto repair business, and it was a miracle as to how it changed these people. All of us, and the way I learned it was the hard way. We had ladies that worked with us up in the front as secretaries and let's just say administrative assistants in a number of different capacities. And I was frustrated because the ladies that worked with us, every time they would be backing up the service writers, we have multiple service writers, every time they'd be backing up the service writers, they never seemed to care about the caller on the other end of the phone with persuading them to come in. So you know what we did? We made it really simple for them. I told all the ladies that work for me, look, you book an appointment, you get the customer to bring the car in, and I'm going to pay you for every customer that shows up that you booked in. You know what else I'm going to do, ladies? If you're able to not only persuade somebody to bring their car in, but if it's towed in, then this is what I'm going to do for you. I'll give you double the amount. And you know what started happening? Our leads count started going up and up and up and up and up. All of a sudden, these ladies became just as talented on the telephone as the service writers. The behavior you get is the behavior that you reward. The behavior that you get is a behavior that you reward. So some guys or gals are very short-term thinkers. They're very nearsighted. They say, oh, giving Tom $10 to bring in a customer, I mean, that's an easy job. No, it's not. Give Tom $10, I mean, it should be part of his job. No, it's not. His job is to produce billable hours for us, not to be good on the telephone. Well, gee, Bob, it's going to cost me $10. No, it's not. It's a lead that you otherwise wouldn't have got. So what he's doing is saving the $25 investment that you spent to get the phone to ring. He's getting more than likely a $300 ARO or whatever your ARO is for your business. And very well could be getting you a customer for life, couldn't he? Right? So in business, one of the principles of business is you have to be willing to invest in your people. You have to be willing to say, you help me, I'll help you. Now, does that mean at the end of the week, Tom gets an extra $100 on his paycheck? Terrific. Because if he got it, he earned it. So you need to make sure that you have a team spirit in your company, and you need to make sure that you have the right incentive programs in place. So as everybody gets excited when the phone rings, now they look at it as an opportunity, not an inconvenience. Now Tom, when the phone rings, he's not going, oh man, the phone rings. I'm going to get behind on this job, and I'm not going to get paid to bill hours. Now the administrative personnel aren't going to say, oh, the phone's ringing, I'm not going to be able to get my bookkeeping done. Now they're looking at it as an opportunity. And from my point of view, in the business that you're in, your whole world begins when that phone rings. Your whole world begins when that phone rings. Because if you're not able to persuade those customers to bring their cars into you, then no matter what you do in business, it goes up in smoke. Do y'all agree with me on that? Okay, so make sure when you scoot out of this course that you do some soul searching and come to a conclusion as to what you're gonna do, the people that work with you. A closing story that hopefully y'all can keep in the back of your hearts. There's a gal in San Diego that my wife and I knew for years that worked at one of the cafes, Mexican cafes, in what we call Old Town San Diego. And it's a real hot spot. It's always busy. During the tourist season, it's buried with customers. And this gal, I can't remember how much she used to do in sales, but we got to know the general manager of the restaurant. And this gal was her number one producer. Her name is Virginia. And Virginia had a couple attributes that it's important that I share these with you now. Let me tell you about Virginia. She's the gal that single-handedly would outproduce all of the other servers combined in sales and in tips. One gal outproducing everyone else combined. And they have like 6 or 8 or 10 servers working there. So you're probably wondering, well, what was Virginia's secret? Let me tell you what it was. This is what she did. Two things. She understood the importance of building rapport with people. She really did. She'd make you smile no matter what. She would make you smile no matter what. She had that kind of a personality. She was always laughing. And I told Virginia a story once. She was standing at my table. I said, Virginia, let me tell you a little story. I bought a car from a guy once that was kept telling me every time I would say, how much does the air conditioning cost? And he would give me a price and he started laughing. And when he would laugh, this car salesman, he looked at me and he said, well, Cooper, it's only money. And he laughed. And I said, well, how much are the power seats? And he gave me the price and I said, that's a lot of money. And he laughed and he said, Cooper, it's only money. And then I looked at him and my eyes got really big and I thought, this guy's a lunatic. And I said, well, how much is the sunroof? And he says, well, it's this much. I go, that's a lot of money. And he laughed again. He said, Bob, what's wrong with you? It's only money. And then I started laughing. And when I started laughing, he was closing sales. Do you agree with that? He was closing sales. So I'm telling Virginia this story. And Virginia's going, oh, that's a great story, Bob. That's a great story. No sooner did the story end, there's a table next to us of tourists. And I'll never forget this. They're all Germans. And there's probably 8 people at the table. This one guy holds up his check, outdoor cafe, starts just about screaming at Virginia. What's wrong with this bill? Look at this bill. You overcharged me $45. This is wrong. What's wrong with this bill? And everybody in the restaurant starts turning around and looking at this table. Well, Virginia excuses herself from our table, walks right next to this table with these Germans, looks at the check. She looks at it, says, you're right. I overcharged you $45. She starts laughing. And she goes, you're right, I overcharged you $45. She looks over at me, makes eye contact with me, looks right at this German and says, it's only money. And this guy looks at her like she's a lunatic. And then everybody else at the table's looking at everybody else at the table. They're all like just shocked. And then the customer starts to laugh. And everybody at the table laughed. She completely desensitized it. So number one, she understood the importance of getting people to feel comfortable. Number two, the other thing that she did, and this is her secret that she told me, she took 50% of all of her tips and gave it to everybody that worked with her. I didn't say some people, everybody that worked with her. If you ever wanted to know where Virginia was working in the restaurant, it was really easy to tell. Find the places where the servers and the busboys were killing themselves to take care of the customers. Because they all knew that their income was based on Virginia's performance. Do you understand what I'm saying? If Virginia would make the customers happy, they would get a huge hunk of her tips. So everybody in that restaurant wanted to not only work Virginia's tables, but they wanted to make sure that the meals were hot, served promptly, and all of those kind of things. I hope you understand that. So we're not asking you to spend any money on your coworkers. What we're asking you to do is invest in your coworkers. There's a world of difference in the two. We have a deal on it? We got lots of folks here, and let me tell you how this fun exercise works. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge because we got lots of guys and gals here today, but you're going to have a lot of fun going through this learning exercise. Now, I know those of you in the back of the room are going to have a hard time reading this print from way back there, so I'm going to help you through it just a little bit. Everybody's going to get a copy of this particular page. Now, look, it says, good morning, Elite Auto Repair. This is Bob speaking. How can I help you? And then the caller is going to say, I'd like to get a price on doing a complete brake job on a 97 Chevrolet. And then the service writer is going to say, okay, I need to get a little information from you. So he's going to say, okay, you said it's a 1997 Chevrolet. And what model is that? It's an Astrovan. And then the service writer is going to say, by the way, my name's Bob. May I ask who I'm speaking with? Now let's do a review of this just for a moment, if we could, please. Look at the opening sentence. Good morning, Elite Auto Repair. This is Bob speaking. How may I help you? We're introducing ourselves. We're smiling, correct? We're giving them the name of the company, correct? And we're already starting off with a question, aren't we? And questions do what to conversations? They control a conversation. They slow it down. So we're saying, how can I help you? Now look, the caller says, I'd like to get a price on doing a complete brake job on a 97 Chevrolet. Now look what the service writer says right behind that. Okay. You know what okay means, don't you? I agree. I'll give it to you. I'm not becoming defensive. I'm not going to say I'm not going to give you a price. Okay, I just need to get a little bit more information from you, which is an ethical question. You said it's a 1997 Chevrolet. And the caller says, that's right. And then what model is it? It's an Astrovan. By the way, now look at number three. By the way, my name is Bob. May I ask who I'm speaking with? Didn't I already give him my name when I picked up the phone? So why would I say it again? Pardon me?
Reconfirm it.
Could it be that he didn't hear it the first time? Right? So there's two things that happen when you give someone your name on line number three. Number one, they may not have heard it the first time. They might not have been listening to you. Number two, it allows you to allow them to reciprocate. There's something else that you have to understand about the human species. If you ask somebody their name, they feel uncomfortable. If you give them your name and then ask their name, they have a greater propensity to give it to you. Watch. Hi, and your name is?
Keith.
Hi, pleased to meet you. Did I give him my name? All right, so he looks at me when I say, hi, your name is, and he's like, who are you? What do you want? What is it to you? And you know it would feel different if I walked up to him and said, hi, my name is Bob Cooper, and your name is?
Keith.
Keith. Do you see the difference in the energy there? So what we're doing here is we're obviously looking to gather the customer's name. And the easiest way to get somebody to give you their name is by first you giving them yours. So, why do we want their name? So we know who we're talking to, and what else is it going to do? Step one, step one, step one. Build rapport, because people do business with people. So what we're going to do is what we call humanize the dialogue. We're going to let them know we're not a company, we're people here, and we're going to help you. That's what we're doing. So here's how this exercise is going to work. You guys are going to have a lot of fun doing this. We're going to break into groups of four, and this is how it's going to unfold. Let's say it's these four gentlemen right up here or is going to be one of the groups. Bob, what you would be is the service writer, the service advisor. That's going to be your role. You're going to have a sheet of paper that looks just like that. Each and every one of you are. As a matter of fact, Keith, they're right here if you want to grab some of these and start passing them around. Here's what I'm going to ask that you do. Bob is going to be the service writer. You're going to have a sheet that looks just like that. All of you are going to have the same sheet. What I'm going to ask that you do, and I'm going to choose my words, is you read verbatim, word for word, everything that you see that is the service writer. So you're going to say, good morning, Elite Auto Repair, this is Bob speaking, how may I help you? Then as soon as you say that, then Tom, what I want you to do is I want you to be the caller. I want you to say at that point, I need to get a price on doing a complete brake job on a 97 Chevrolet. Then Bob, what I want you to do is say, okay, I need to get a little information from you. You said it's a 1997 Chevrolet, is that correct? Correct. And what model is it? It's an Astrovan. Okay, by the way, my name is Bob. May I ask who I'm speaking with? And don't go any further. Now look, if I could have your attention for a minute, here's the other important thing that you must do in this exercise. Don't stray from this one. No eye contact. Don't look at one another. I want you two to be coaches. And you know what all great coaches do, don't you? They don't find people's weaknesses, they find people's strengths. So after Bob does it twice, don't look at him. I don't want you guys to have eye contact with one another. What I want you to do is listen to him. And if you think that his tonality was really great, when he's done each time, say, Bob, your tonality was remarkable. Or if you believe that you could hear him writing down the customer's response, if you could actually hear in his tonality, okay, you said it's a 1997 Chevrolet, tell him that. Say, Bob, you know, one of the things that you did that was really terrific, I could hear you writing it down. Let him know what he did really well. The problem that we have in the great states of the USA is there's too many people out there that will make a career of finding your weaknesses. You got a world that's filled with people that'll tell you what you're doing wrong. You don't have very many people out there that will tell you what you're doing right. If you want to manage people, do this. Quit finding their weaknesses. Find their strengths, point out the strengths to people, and you know what they'll do? They'll find their own weaknesses. I'm telling you the truth. Really works. So what I want you to do is be coaches and point out his strengths. Let him know what he did really well. Then what you do is your role reverse. Then it's your turn. Then it's your turn. Then it's your turn. So here's the ground rules. Number one, no eye contact. Number two, you have the piece of paper, so write on it. Take notes. Number three, let them know what they did really well. Each of you need to do it twice. We got a deal on that? Okay, so why don't we do this? You guys turn around, table one, face table number two, and then decide however you need to break into little groups of four. Okay, folks, out of curiosity, if somebody could raise their hand and let me know what you learned from that exercise, I sure would appreciate it.
How to listen.
Eddie says how to listen. Important?
Very.
Yes, sir.
Stop and take a moment to think about what you're doing before you say it.
Is that important? Yeah, you bet. What else did you learn from that exercise?
Procedure.
Is that important? Tonality important or no?
Yes.
Very. Could you hear if somebody was writing it down?
Yes.
Make you feel more comfortable when you know somebody's writing it down? Hmm? And is it important for the caller to feel comfortable with you? One of the things that you need to do in sales, whenever a customer calls into your service center, is you need to avoid what we call dead air. Dead air is when you're not speaking and the customer's not speaking. When there's dead air, I'll make you a promise. The customer will ask you a question. When the customer then asks a question, who is then beginning to take control? The customer. So the way you avoid dead air, there's two things that you need to do. Number one, you need to be well rehearsed. You need to know how to control the conversation. And you do that by knowing what questions you're going to ask and by taking notes. Because when I repeat something back to Tom, now watch, I'm just going to do like a little bit of a one-sided role play here. Okay, Tom, you said it's a 1997 Chevrolet. I hope you understand, I'm not only confirming with him the kind of vehicle he has, but I'm also getting him to focus in on what I'm saying, to assure that it's right. And the other thing that I'm doing is filling up the dead air, aren't I? By repeating it back to him, okay, Tom, you said it's a 1997 Chevrolet. So I'm slowing the conversation down. I'm containing the control. I'm making sure that it stays in my court. I'm making sure that I'm getting the right information, which is going to help him feel more comfortable with me. And it's allowing me to mentally prepare now to come back with the next question. So what you need to do with the sales procedure is control the conversation. And the way you control the conversation is by listening to the customer, repeating it back to them, and writing it down. The other thing that we found is obviously you have to have good listening skills. And if you take a look at this from the top again, it's the same procedure that you just saw. By the way, my name is Bob. May I ask who I'm speaking with, which is number three. And then in this case, the caller says, well, this is Keith. And then, Keith, why do you suspect that you need a complete break job? Now look how we went all the way from I need a price to why do you suspect that you need a break job, right? And then the whole idea here is to get the customer to engage with you in a dialogue as to what their concerns are, why they think they need that to solve their problem. And that could take you in a number of different directions, as you know. But bottom line, what it's going to do is it's going to give you the information that you need. Why do you suspect that you need a complete brake job? And a caller says, well, it's making a grinding noise when I step on the pedal. Now look at the next one down here. How long has it been doing this? Well, it's been doing it for 2 days. Keith, based on what you just told me, you may not need a complete brake job. Now I want to be really clear on that point. We don't want anybody misunderstanding number five. Where it says, based on what you just told me, you may not need a complete brake job. By design, we designed this script with this kind of storybook customer in here to have that brake problem. Now, I know there's probably a lot of people in the industry that say, wait a minute, Cooper. Based on what you said, it's making a grinding noise and a pedal pulls to the left. We know that it's going to need some kind of brake work. Well, we're doing this to prod you and make you think that's not the case. We would like to think that this car may very well need a brake job, but in the real world, we don't know that that's the case. The customer steps on a brake pedal and it's making a grinding noise. I don't know what's causing that. And I'll challenge any technician that can tell me what's causing that without having more information. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I hope that you do. And the fact that the pedal pulls it off, I don't know why it's pulling to the left. I have no idea. You know, I remember in the auto repair business when I was a technician. I was surprised Many times. Many times I get cars in that I thought for sure needed this and it needed that. You can't disagree with that. So we're not saying that we're fibbing to the customer. We're saying that if in the world of ethic you really do believe that it might not need a complete brake job based on what the customer told you, then that's called the truth. And people need to hear the truth. Eddie, based on what you told me, you may not need a complete brake job.
Also, what's the customer's idea of a complete brake job?
Ask this industry and you can't get a universal answer. So your comment's a great comment. You ask 15 different technicians what a complete brake job is, you're going to get 15 or 16 different answers. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do the same exercise again. What I'm going to ask that you do this time is take it all the way from the top. I know you'll do a great job. Okay, folks, if I could have your attention for a moment here. Hey, if somebody could put up their hand and let me know what you learned from that exercise, I would appreciate hearing from you.
You tend to put a lot of your own little words inside the sentences.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get you in trouble.
One of the things that's important when you're looking at any of these kind of exercises is you have to accept the fact that they're not you. And before you're out of here today, I'll share some thoughts with you as to how you can allow things like this to become you. But it's important that you understand every word that is in this script is there for a reason. Not almost every word. Every single word is there by a very specific design. Now, this doesn't mean someone can't come to us and say, you know, we found if you take this word out and put that word in or change this, we're all ears. We're open to that. What we can tell you is this material, if you use it as it's presented to you, we can tell you it works. Now, we're going to take a break here in about 10 minutes, but there's something that I would like you to think about before we go much further. I know a lot of people, when they start looking at what I'm going to call scripts or procedures or tracks, a lot of guys and gals start to feel uncomfortable. A lot of guys and gals start to say, well, you know, Cooper, you really can't do that. And I go, why not? And they say, well, what you're doing, and I'm going to choose my words, what you're doing is you're manipulating people. You're using this script, this dialogue, with very specifically designed questions. You're filling dead air space. You know where you're going with every one of these questions, and you're manipulating people. You know what? Bring your customers through that front door right now if you would like. Because yes, that's exactly what you're doing. Yes, you're manipulating people. For whatever reason in society, we have a belief system that tells us that there's something wrong with manipulating people. I hope that you understand every single day of your life, you are manipulated. And I'm not talking about chiropractors. I'm talking about the free world manipulates you. You cannot wake up in the morning and spend one day on this good earth without being manipulated. Next time you turn on your television and you see a commercial for an automobile company, when you turn on a TV and you watch a Toyota or a Ford or a Honda or a Mercedes, you picked a car company, it doesn't matter to me. You see very little of the automobile and you see a whole lot of the emotion. Don't tell me that they're not manipulating you. When you look at a commercial and all that you see is a tail end of the car weaving through the mountain roads in Tennessee with the leaves blowing behind it, what do you think they're doing to you? You think they're educating you on the automobile? Because I don't. I think what they're trying to do is get you to draw an association with their brand awareness, their brand name, their automobile, and that kind of peace of mind and tranquility. That's what they're trying to do. Every time I see Volvo with their commercials, I know what they're trying to do. They're pulling at the heartstrings of the moms of America. They're saying, you buy this automobile, you're going to have a wonderful automobile to put your children in because it's a safe automobile. Ladies and gentlemen, that's manipulating people. But I'll take it a step further. It's what's in your heart that matters. If your intent is to manipulate people to help them, then God bless you. I hope you have many children that think like you do.
This program is continued on the next audio file in this series.